I want to talk about the God who is sovereign over our circumstances. And I don't know about you, if you're like me, I have difficulty sometimes processing God's sovereignty when things happen in my life. Things might not go as we exactly imagined or want. We deal with difficulties, we deal with family things, and we say, where is God in the middle of this? Where is God? And so today, as we look at the life of Paul, a man who gave everything for the gospel, a man who shared it all, but yet was pursued for his very own life. And as we come into this passage, as we looked at last week, they formed a mob and they were going to beat him, or they did beat him. The Jews did, and the Romans were about to, and they found out he was a Roman citizen. But then we ended up in verse 11 of Acts chapter 23, and I love this verse because this is the verse that really hinges everything as we live out our Christian life. Jesus in the Great Commission, he says, "Behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." He is with you. And it's in the midst of those times where we don't feel God, we don't know God, but God speaks His Word. And God may not be speaking to you right now when you're in the middle of your circumstance. As we read on, God didn't wake up Paul every day and give him this word of encouragement in verse 11. He says, "Take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also in Rome." And way back in Acts chapter 9, that's what God said Paul was going to do. He was going to minister before Gentile kings. And what God decrees and what God says, it will come about no matter what. But it takes faith to believe through the dark times, through the times when it seems like it's not happening. And we didn't understand that even though God may not be speaking to you, or you may not feel God right now because you're in the middle of something, know that we can go to the Scripture where Jesus says, "Behold, I am with you always." We don't have to verbally hear it every single day. We can go and read it and know that it is a timeless truth. It is a timeless relationship through the living Word of God that He's with you. And that He is overshadowing your circumstances of your life. See, the God who is sovereign is going to carry out His plan no matter what. Now, if we go to the next slide here, you probably can't see the map very well. But over here where this green line is, where the Caesarea, can you see that little red that says Caesarea? Paul was taken from Jerusalem there to Caesarea for protection in this passage of Scripture, because he was going to take a ship and go all the way to Rome. And this is his final missionary journey. Paul has gone on many missionary journeys before where he was ministering in all those areas up in the Asian area there. And as we come to this point, God says, "You're going to be there in Rome. How is that going to be possible? How is Paul, a Jewish rabbi, a Pharisee, trained in the highest education, started and planted churches everywhere, would speak before Gentile kings?" God aligned his circumstances to let that be. How many of you have ever driven down the road and something went wrong or something delayed? You dropped your keys or you locked yourself out of the house, and then you drive down the road and there's an accident there. Had you been a few seconds earlier, you might have been in it. We have a God who works through the smallest parts of our circumstances, and He's going to carry out His will no matter what. In verse 11, He says, "Take courage. I'm going to do this." Now, I want you to see, hold your place in Acts, but I want to invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 14, just to see the kind of God we have for us. Isaiah chapter 14. Now, this is in context of an oracle that has come against Assyria, but this shows us the character of God and how He acts. In verse 26 of Isaiah chapter 14, it says, "This is the purpose that is purposed concerning the whole earth, and this is the hand that is outstretched out over all the nations." So he had just given a prophecy about what was going to happen to Assyria earlier, and he said, "This is the purpose I purpose. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back?" And those are rhetorical questions by saying what God decrees He will carry out. When Jesus says, "I am with you," He's going to be with you. And it is in the midst of the darkness that I feel like, where is Jesus? Where are you at? And Paul was reaching such a place where he had to be rescued by the Romans and taken to prison. And God has a plan for each and every one of our lives. And just as our brother is getting ready for retirement, God has a plan. We never retire in the kingdom of God. Never. Because God has a certain plan, just as God laid out Paul's life. You're going to go to Rome and speak. That's the end result of your ministry. And whatever God has decreed in your life, that's what's going to take place. And we have to have the courage to trust in that and be willing to watch for God to be at work in different circumstances. You know, when you might come to a place of darkness, but watch. Learn to be watchers of circumstance. Because God is always at work. You know, a lot of what our country was founded on was people that were called deists. And they believed that God set the world into order and He just left it and He stepped back. And He's not a relational God. He's just a God far away. And He just kind of lets it run its course. But that's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible that we worship and we so love is not far away, but is very much involved in the circumstances of our daily life. Oh my, what dread and what terror we would have if God was not. We would worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. We'd worry about what the devil was going to do to us. We would worry about what people were going to do. We would be gripped by fear and paralyzed by fear to not know that there is a God who is overriding, overarching everything that has taken place. And everything that He does is good and is for our best and for His end result. Do you believe that? That's hard to believe sometimes, isn't it? But if we have to be aware of our own eagerness, and maybe our worry even, could drive us to take matters in our own hands, and that blurs our vision. So if we're looking for God to work in our circumstances, if we're already spinning our tires trying to make something work, anybody spend time in your life trying to make something work? I know I have many, many, many times. Just got to make this happen, right? It doesn't work. And you know what that does? That blurs our vision. It like covers us up so that we can't see where God is already working in our circumstances. We already have an idea of how we want God to work this thing out. So we can't see God coming over here working it out in this way because we're over here trying to work it out in this way. When it seems like God is silent, remember His word that He spoke. I'm with you always. Number two. Since God is sovereign over our circumstances, we have a God that will never be surprised by secret plots. He sees and knows everything. Don't raise your hands, but is there any conspiracy theorists here? People that think that everybody is after you? I know a few people that are, and I've even had some of those times where I've said those things myself, and we have to make sure that we're safe. We lock the doors. Oh, what was that noise? And all that sort of thing. God is never surprised by any secret plots. And so here we have some terrorists, example of terrorists in the scripture. They were zealot Jews who took an oath. And let's read. It says in verse 12, "When it was day, the Jews made a plot and bound themselves by an oath neither to eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. There were more than 40 who made this conspiracy. They went to the chief priests and elders and said, 'We have strictly bound ourselves with an oath to taste no food till we have killed Paul.' Now therefore, you along with the council, give notice to the tribune to bring him down to you as though you were going to determine his case more exactly, and we are ready to kill him before he comes near. Now the son of Paul's sister heard of their ambush, and he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. God is never surprised. We have a God that sees what every plot of every terrorist, and these were zealots of the day, much like the terrorists today that we see in the Middle East. That's what these kind of men were. They wanted to take the government from Rome, and sometimes they didn't like the religious leaders, but in this case they were working with them because it served their purpose. They were terrorists. They were ruthless. They said, we're not going to eat or drink. These guys were serious. They were assassins. They were like strapping a bomb to their back until Paul is killed. Kind of terrorists. But they did it in secret. They plotted. They set up a plan. But there is one in the universe who sees all. And folks, we got to remember that. We have to remember, what if someone's plotting something behind my back? What if at work they're setting me up for something? What if at home somebody's setting me up for something? God is seeing and He knows. He's like our reconnaissance. He knows everything that's going on all around our lives. No human ploy could ever fool God. These are things that God has given for us to believe as faith items. But what humans may think is done, God sees it all. And when we start to fear what people are doing behind our backs to thwart God's calling in our lives, we must learn to trust that we have a God who sees and knows everything. Folks, this is plain and simple. In life, we want to be successful, right? We don't want anything bad or harm to come our way that's detrimental and that is evil. We have a God who has the upper hand over any plot the enemy can make against you. We have a God that's already seen the play. We have a God who, His eyes are going to and fro on the earth, who sees and knows everything all at once. And that's the God we just sang about. What a friend we have in Jesus. Don't you want that kind of person to be your friend? If you were to trade a basketball player or a football player on a team, wouldn't you want to trade the person that's going to give you the upper hand in the game? How much more should we want to worship and relish this relationship that we have with this God? What you cannot see, God can. He's our reconnaissance. And third, let's read verses 16 to 22. I love this part of Scripture. He says, now the son of Paul's sister heard of their ambush, so he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. Paul called one of the centurions and said, take this young man to the tribune, for he has something to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the tribune. And Paul, the prisoner, called me and asked me to bring this young man to you, as he has something to say. The tribune took him by the hand and, going aside, asked him privately, what is it you have to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul down to the council tomorrow, as though they were not going to inquire somewhat more closely about him. But do not be persuaded by them, for more than 40 of their men are lying in ambush for him, who have bound themselves by an oath neither to eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now they are ready, waiting for your consent. So the tribune dismissed the young man, charging him, tell no one that you've informed me of these things. This picture is a picture of my little nephew. And he was dancing. They were visiting, and we had some music on. And he thought, well, I'm going to be cool and get the attention of everybody and dance. That's just the way kids are. Could you picture a child being the one that God uses to intervene and change the course and get you where God wants you to be. He did that with Paul, his little nephew. Up until this point, we didn't hear anything about Paul's family. And all of a sudden, he has this little nephew, and of course, they let him into the barracks, which the Romans normally wouldn't do that, but being a child, they probably thought, oh, you know, we'll be a sport, we'll let him in. And God used a child to foil a plan of terrorists, 40 men. Isn't that amazing? Because God will use even what we consider small and unique ways to intervene in our lives. See, we're often tempted to have these great thoughts and views of how God is going to work in our circumstances. Well, you know, like the disciples, remember they said, Jesus, do you want us to call fire down from heaven and get those guys? That's kind of our idea of God intervening, you know. God, if you could maybe let them die a little bit earlier than they're supposed to, you know, it'll be good. Some people that are causing trouble in our lives, right? If you could remove them. We have these big ideas. Who would have thought that God would use a child? He uses the small things. He uses what we don't normally think about and process in our lives. And folks, this is why we need to be Spirit-filled. This is why we need to have the Holy Spirit in our lives. Is because if we don't have the Holy Spirit and we're not listening to God and we don't have that relationship with Him, we're going to be guided by our grandeur thoughts about how God's working, and we won't even be able to see these little things. God comes in a still small voice. God says you have to be a child to come into the kingdom of God. God uses the smallest, most slight things in your circumstances to protect your life, to intervene. He works in the most simple and small ways to accomplish His will. Let's turn for a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I really want to encourage you to read along with this. And if you don't have Bibles, to turn there. Verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 1. He says, "For consider your calling, brothers, sisters. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring things to nothing, things that are." Wow. "So that no human beings might boast in the presence of God. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." Wow, God uses the low and despised things of the world to confound the things that are with the things that are not. Recently, I was so encouraged this last one. Anybody remember Jimmy Graves? In our church, some of you might remember. But for those of you that don't, I hope that he can come and speak. But you wouldn't imagine him to be a brother to come and speak to the church from way back when we knew him, when he attended this church. He was a man that was very simple, and he still is. Very no-nonsense, just kind of goofy, cracks little jokes all the time. You would think that he's naive even. That's kind of how he came across in some ways. When they first came to our church, they were new Christians, just coming to the Lord. And God moved him and his wife and family over to Virginia. And he came and shared on Wednesday, and I felt like I was in the presence of an evangelist. This guy works his job traveling, basically a salesman, and He doesn't view that as his job. He views his job as reaching and touching people. He asks God every day for two people to touch. And my goodness, the testimonies of people that he gets to share the gospel with in his own stuttering ways. And he said, Pastor Mike, I would never speak in front of everybody. So when he comes, I'll just trick him. He can stay in his pew and I'll say, hey, Jimmy, what's going on in your life? And then he'll be able to share. But he wouldn't probably be able to come up here. But he just poured out. Man, God uses the plain and the simple. Look, I grew up afraid to even play the piano in front of people. I was little, short. You won't believe that now. Well, I still am short. But I've grown exponentially this way. Not very good at very many things. And when I look at being able to stand up here even, it still is scary. Because right now I'm more scared about messing up God's Word than you guys. But there's still that fear. But God can use anybody. In fact, if that scripture is true, He delights to use people that don't have the skills and the charisma and the drill because He gets the glory out of it. He uses stutterers. He uses people with ADD. He uses people with weight problems. He uses people with heart problems. He uses people that can't speak clearly. He uses people to share the gospel and be the ones that expand the kingdom of God. You. As we look at Paul's passage, his nephew. His little nephew. For all we know, Paul's family might have disowned him because he became a Christian. But there was still his nephew that was maybe curious about his life, that God moved and put him in the right place at the right time. Wherever you're at, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, God has you at the right place at the right time. And if we would remember that and jump in God's work with Him wherever we go, that we would notice the cashier at the gas station or at the Walmart checkout to say, maybe they need a word of encouragement from us. You know, how about if we said, you know, I'm least, I'm insignificant, I'm shy. Any shy people in here? Are there shy people? You're not shy, Terry. Your hand shy people. There's loud, boisterous people in here too. God uses everyone. So the next time you get paranoid about thinking like, I can't speak clearly, I don't know all that Pastor Mike knows, I don't know all the Bible, I think I might struggle, I have emotional problems, and we all do. We all struggle. But it's in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our weakness, that God demonstrates His sovereignty and power. And I pray that if you don't get anything, that you would get that. Who cares what you are and where you came from and what you do? Who cares if you walk with a limp? Who cares if you have weird idiosyncrasies that you think people might not like me because of that? I have a few of those too. That's who God chooses to use, is you. It's you. The sovereignty thing is awesome. Because God always puts people, and He put you in the right place at the right time to accomplish His will. And if you're in the middle of a bad circumstance, stand by and watch for God to work in the most unexpected ways. Because He uses big, small things to accomplish big things. After all, when we look at Scripture, Moses, being a man who said, I can't speak, so God said, I'll have your brother speak for him. God appeared to him in a burning bush in the middle of a desert. Look at David, who killed the Philistine with just little stones. He didn't have a big spear or machine gun or anything like that. Just five stones, that's all. Samson killed how many Philistines with just a jawbone of a donkey? Moses was the son of slave parents. He committed a murder and killed an Egyptian. He spent 40 years in the desert. David was the youngest son of an obscure family, not the one that you would choose to be king. Mary being a poor virgin. And Jesus Christ, most importantly, coming to be born in a cutout rock animal pen. Animal feed trough. That's how God works. God uses small things to accomplish big things. And then number four, God's going to use whomever and whatever He wants to protect us as we are carrying out God's will. Look what happened in verse 23. This is just amazing. He said He called two centurions and said, get ready 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearsmen. So that's, if you do math, what is that, 470? Roman guards to go with Paul to Caesarea at the third hour of the night. Also provide mounts for Paul to ride and bring him safely to Felix the governor. And he wrote a letter to this effect. Claudius Lysias to His Excellency the Governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews and was about to be killed by them when I came upon them with the soldiers and rescued him, having learned that he was a Roman citizen. So that's part of the story that was a little bit lie, remember? He didn't know he was a Roman citizen. That's not why he saved him, but he wanted to make himself look good to the other leader. And desiring to know the charge for which they were accusing him, I brought him down to their council. I found that he was being accused about questions of their law, but charged with nothing deserving death or imprisonment. And when it was disclosed to me that there would be a plot against the man, I sent him to you at once, ordering the accusers also to state before you what they have against him. Now, earlier, if you would look back, you don't have to right now, in chapter 9, verse 29, God used Paul, rescued Paul by luring him in a picnic basket over the side of a wall. Here in this situation, we have 470 Roman centurions, and he's mounted on a horse almost as if he was a king being escorted out. Don't you love in the variety of how God comes and rescues? So never think that it's going to be one way or the other, because it could be with 10,000 horses and all the pomp and circumstance, or it can be just crammed in a little picnic basket over the side of the wall as God's way of rescue. So don't ever stereotype the ways that God delivers, because He's sovereign and He uses all these wonderful ways to rescue and save your life. It's an amazing thing. That's why Paul says, I know how to be rich, I know how to be poor, I know how to be in sickness and health, I know how to be well-fed, hungry. At the same time, Paul was in all circumstances, but he says, I am choosing to be content in all circumstances. Why? Because he believed that God was sovereign over the good times and the bad times, and that when God comes to deliver, sometimes it's in big ways, sometimes it's in little ways, sometimes he uses a nephew, sometimes he uses a simple pencil that falls on the floor, like the professor that said, I don't believe in God, and if God's real, let him break this chalk. And he stumbled and dropped the chalk and it rolled and broke. I don't know if you've heard that story. But God uses even pieces of chalk to show His sovereignty in a marvelous way. Last of all, God's going to protect us no matter what we're calling whatever His calling is for us. So you might be afraid to enter into a new season of your life and your ministry, and maybe even our brother as he's near in retirement. It's something new, it's something different. But know if God's called you to do that, He's going to protect you. I think it would be pretty safe to say that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and a servant of God, you're not going to die before your time. Before God has fulfilled the ministry that He's given you to fulfill. And that's exactly what we see in Paul's life. In verse 31, he says, so the soldiers took their instructions, took Paul, brought him to Antipatris, and the next day they returned to the barracks, letting the horsemen go with him. When they had come to Caesarea and delivered the letter to the government, they presented Paul before him. On reading the letter, he asked what province he was from, and he learned that he was from Cilicia. And he said, I will give you a hearing when your accusers arise. And he commanded to be guarded in Herod's praetorium. Now, this is the first leg of his journey of getting where God wanted him to be. 35 miles with these horses from Jerusalem going down to Caesarea. If you remember the pictures I showed you of the port with the horse stadium and all of that, that's where he was taken. Do you believe God uses your circumstances to move you where He wants you to move? How many have said about things that have happened in your life, if I had only done it this way, or if only if so-and-so didn't do this, or this didn't happen in my life, I would be in this place right now. You can't change life circumstances. We can't change people that are our loved ones in our family that have passed away. As painful as that is for each and every one of us, or to deal with what our brother's dealing with ADD and all of this stuff, and with his son. God gives us the exact circumstances that we need to lead us where He puts us. I want to encourage you today. Do you have faith in this kind of sovereign God? Doesn't that put a whole nother pep in your step when you sing, what a friend we have in Jesus? Really? Because He's going to carry out His plan no matter what. He's not surprised. He has the upper hand on everything that goes on in our lives. He works in small and unique ways. He uses whatever He wants, big or small, to rescue us. And He always moves us where He wants us. No regrets. If we're living a life of repentance, know that God is leading and working in your life. I want to ask you this morning, if you just bow your hearts before the Lord, and I just want to give you a little bit of quiet time this morning.